ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Tuesday, April 18th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in a tunnel today. I hope it doesn't sound that way, but...
Go to the light, Melody.
Go to the light.
Go to the light.
Not yet. Not yet.
Well, it might be a freight train, too. It just might be the headlight on a freight train. So.
Well, I run into a few freight trains before, so in my lifetime. So, and I think we have a huge freight train coming down the road, ready to hit not only us, but everyone around the world. And everybody just seems oblivious to everything. You know, there's so many distractions going on, and no one's paying any attention to what they really should be doing. And today I had a laugh. There was a big headline before I go to the markets. Facebook goes virtual. Firm unveils VR and AR software. As Mark Zuckerberg confirms, it is developing a mind-reading brain interface. He took the stage today at the firm's annual F8 Developer Conference. And the new platform will allow developers to build their own AR.
Did you ever see that movie, Liar, Liar?
Pants on Fire?
No, Liar, Liar, I think was the name of the movie. Jim, I can't think of the comedian's name.
Yeah. Dominic.
And he plays an attorney, who has to tell the truth every time he speaks. Well, if you get one of these new things that'll read your mind, it'll be like that for all of us. We won't be able to lie anymore. We're always going to be telling the truth. I don't know what that's going to do to the homicide rate in this country, but I think
significant. Wait, let me finish. Zuckerberg has unveiled Facebook's augmented reality system and confirmed rumors the firm is developing a mind-control brain interface. The social network's founder took to the stage, I already said that, to introduce what he called the second act in Facebook's camera strategy, a new platform to allow developers to build AR apps that intensifies its battle with Snapshot. He also hinted at the firm's more distant future, confirming rumors is developing a radical mind-reading computer interface. That wasn't what I wanted to read. He says, we're building further out beyond augmented reality. And that includes work around direct brain interfaces that one day will let you communicate using only your mind. All right. Then he goes on and he says, our hearts go out to the family and friends of Robert Goodwin Sr. He's the guy that was shot in Cleveland by the other guy that went nuts, and I guess he committed suicide in Pennsylvania. But he goes on and he says, our hearts go out to the friends and families of Robert Goodwin Jr. We have a lot of work to do, and we'll do everything we can to help prevent these tragedies. So he thinks that with his direct brain interfaces, they'll be able to prevent, read people's mind. There was a movie about this one time. Yeah. I think it was... Tom Cruise was in it.
Yeah, pre-crime, talking about pre-crime. They would arrest people. They would be able to tell that they were going to commit a crime, and they would arrest them before they committed a crime.
Yeah. This is what this guy's talking about.
No, I know. I know. And it'll be interesting if you have Facebook. It'll be construed as, if you say anything strange on Facebook, they may construe that as evidence that you're out to murder somebody or rob a bank or say bad things about the president. There's a law for that. There used to be an app for that. Now there's a law for that. And they'll just come down, swoop in, pick you up, and haul you away. So, well, what did I do? Well, you were thinking. You were thinking things. We could tell.
I mean, it's, you know, and he talks about using contact lenses that overlay, you know, and I don't know. It's creepy. Creepy stuff. A lot of people embrace it. A lot of people say, Melody, get with the times. I'm sorry. I don't want to be with those times. And I don't want anybody to be able to read my mind. We wouldn't be able to do the radio program, Al, if our listeners could read our minds.
Well, maybe it would enhance the program. You're not, you know, who can say, Melody? Start telling every, make every statement, we'd be like reality radio, a little like reality TV. Everybody who's talking, but this wouldn't just apply to us. This could apply to anybody who called in on the radio program. And we'd find out what was really going on
what
in their minds,
really
too.
What they really wanted to say.
I understand.
Anyway, this is, maybe we'd even know what the real price of gold is without the manipulation and the suppression of the precious metals. But anyway, we'll take gold today, and we'll take the $5 that it was able to gain at $1,290. Silver down 12, 1836. Platinum was down 8 at 979. Palladium is down 15, 777. USDX today was down. Pressure on that today. Down 0.78 at 99.53. Crude oil was down 0.05 at 52.60. And the paper markets today, they did come back to some degree. They were down almost 200 points. Now let's go see what they did last minute of trade, or the last half hour of trading. You have the Dow down 113, so it came back somewhat. 20,523. The NASDAQ was down 7 at 58.49. The S&P was down 6 at 23.42. 10-year yield, 2.18%, down 0.07. Remember when they took that last quarter point hike, the Fed's interest increase, it was 2.60. And, of course, there's a lot of rumors out there and discussion that that is a major number. On the year, on the yield for the 10-year, and now it worked. It's 2.18%. Euro is 107, up 0.84. Let's see what that the emotion that's driving the market. Still fear at 30, but again, really no panic that I see. We certainly don't see it in the gold market. We certainly don't see it in the $20 gold pieces, and the $20 gold pieces, the mint state coins. When you have panic in the markets, that's when they really perform, because you do have people coming in and they want something that's real, and they go into the $20 gold pieces because they buy, they want to have all the advantages that the $20 gold pieces give them. Today, you can buy Mint State 62 $20 gold pieces for the same price as the gold bullion coin. I mean, it's absurd. Just really incredible.
Yeah, that's absurd.
And I mean, I could even squeak if somebody was looking to buy volume. I could do 63, Mint State 63, $20 St. Gaudens at bullion prices.
And well, that's just one of those things that if people are sensible, that's a deal you cannot pass up.
I mean, it's never been like this. This is how distracted the markets are. This is the amount of confidence that the people still, they might have an emotion of fear. I'm not so sure it's the fear of the markets, though. I think that fear is coming from war. You know, they're fearful of having a war or something, but I mean, it really is an amazing number on these $20 gold pieces. And this sort of relates to, and I think what happens, you know, when people are fearful and they want to go into something that's a little more safe, the first place they're, you know, they have different places they're going to go. Gold is usually last. Or next to last, you know, only because their brokers don't want to sell gold. So gold is, they've got ETFs now that they can sell, you know, so it takes a little bit longer for that money to get into the gold market, but it gets there eventually. The flow of money in the $17 trillion mutual fund industry in recent weeks is signaling that investors across asset classes are skeptical of the reflation trade from global equities to U.S. municipal debt. Fund flows have changed course relative to the post-election stretch, when investors have waged that stronger growth and inflation would lift stocks and bonds. Instead, the S&P 500 index is coming off its first two-week slide since January. 10-year Treasury yields are close to the lowest level since November. And amid this shift in sentiment, you have Goldman Sachs they've abandoned recommendations to go long the dollar against the euro, sterling, and the yuan. So here you have Goldman Sachs, you know, and we know all the people that are hired in the administration that are Goldman Sachs people. It kind of makes sense why they would abandon that recommendation, because they all know the dollar is going to get weaker. So we have seen, you know, these flows. Cameron Brandt, director of research at EPFR Global, they analyze flows in more than $17 trillion of mutual funds. He says there are plenty of signals that people want to see something tangible. And this is, I believe, the beginning. And I don't think there is anything in the stream of things that's going to change those signals. And so, again, it was just another interesting, I thought kind of interesting, and kind of confirms of what we already talk about, where we see the benchmarks, the stock benchmarks falling further from record highs. Even yesterday, we had, you know, the great numbers on the stock markets and so forth, but it was very low volume. It was very weak volume, you know, so they didn't have to do much to make the numbers good yesterday. And this is why you've seen the turnaround today. The S&P 500 has paired its year-to-date gain to about 4.5%. So it's not sure how long these markets can hold these levels, but the cracks are there. And there's all kinds of signs to tell you folks the cracks are there. So don't become, now that your taxes are over, you know, don't become lulled into
it. Still got a couple more hours, don't we, Melody?
Yes, we do, Al.
It's not over. I believe in filing early, Melody. Like 11 o'clock. 11 p.m., that's my notion of filing early.
I believe in extensions. Anyway, U.S. companies in China face one of the most challenging environments in decades this year. This is out by the American Chamber of Commerce. Political and economic transitions, both in the U.S. and China, increasing perception of animosity toward foreign businesses and slowing growth or dimming the outlook. Again, not good signs, folks. Despite recent rhetoric regarding opening and globalization, investment barriers remain high. It said in its annual American Business in China white paper, the pace of economic reforms and market opening has been slowing and faltering. While administration, regulatory transparency, and intellectual property protection have improved, policies designed to support domestic industries and national champions have narrowed the space for participation by foreign companies. So, yeah, U.S. companies in China, they're slowing their investments. About 81% of its members reported feeling less welcome in 2016 than previously, up from 77% in 2015. So they're not getting that same warm feeling from China that they used to get. So,
speaking of China, got an article here from Yahoo News, and it's dated April 17th, yesterday. And it says, Chinese and Russian spy vessels follow U.S. Navy strike group to Korean Peninsula. That's the headline. China and Russia have reportedly dispatched spy vessels to the Korean Peninsula as the U.S. Navy's strike group approaches the region. Both navies, that is to say Russia's and China's, will monitor the movements of the American Armada, which is led by the nuclear-powered aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson. All right. Now, it was reported by Yahoo News, but it was originally in the International Business Times. Okay, April 17th, the Russian and Chinese spy vessels follow U.S. Navy strike group to Korean Peninsula. But now, this isn't news, but here's what's interesting about it. Here's another one from Yahoo News, and also from The Week. They are repeating a story that was in a publication called The Week, and this was today. And it says, U.S. Navy officials seem baffled by reports that Trump sent an aircraft carrier strike group to North Korea. Understand this? And the first one, and we've all heard plenty of these, we're sending an armada to Korea. All right, better watch out. We've been hearing that for a week or more. And here's a report, Yahoo News, seemingly credible source, The Week, a seemingly credible source. And it says, on April 8th, with tensions rising on the Korean Peninsula, Admiral Harry Harris, commander of U.S. Pacific Command, ordered the aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson and its support ships to head toward Korea in what was widely seen as a show of force and warning for North Korea. Everybody seems to have expected the Vinson strike group to actually move toward the Koreas. But as of Saturday, it was some 3,500 miles south, off the coast of Sumatra, after taking part in scheduled joint exercises with the Australian forces. U.S. Navy officials confirmed that the Vinson was nowhere near Korea, telling Defense News off the record that they didn't understand why the media kept reporting that the strike group was headed that way. "We've made no such statement," one official said. Among those who did suggest the U.S. is sending an armada, including submarines, toward North Korea was President Trump. Well, I don't know. This is one of those things where you talk about trusting the mainstream news. I don't know what to make of this. This is apparently just some sort of, probably just some sort of a goof up, some sort of a mistake. But on the one hand, we've been told for a week that we've got an armada going to Korea. On the other hand, we have another credible sources that say, no, there's no aircraft carrier group going to North Korea, and they don't understand where the reports started. Now, I'm going to assume that there is an aircraft carrier group going to North Korea, and that the most recent reports, which came in just today, basically, from Yahoo and from The Week, somehow they've made a mistake. I don't know what happened here. I'm going to assume that's what it is, but it's the sort of thing that gets you talking, and you think to yourself, do we really, what is the news? We got part of the news is saying there's a carrier armada going to Korea's. We got another part of the news saying, no, there's not. It's down 3,500 miles away. It's difficult. This is an illustration of how difficult it is to get credible news in this country, news that you can really rely on. And it's the sort of thing that's confusing, bewildering, disappointing. How could this be? How could both Yahoo and The Week, how could they have reported that the armada is 3,500 miles south off the coast of Sumatra rather than up close to Korea? How could they do that by accident? Hasn't anybody read the relevant news? They say, oh no, the armada is right there, just offshore Korea. What is going on? Very strange world. Media, mainstream media is strange. They think the right wing, the alt-right media is strange. I'll tell you, the mainstream media is very strange all by itself. We're going to take a break, a couple commercials, be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, I guess there was a shooting in Fresno, a person killing three, and as he was being arrested, he shouted, "Allahu Akbar."
Yep.
And he was tackled to the ground after the shootings were spread out over four locations. Started about 10:45 this morning. This is the first time I've heard about it. Did you know about it earlier, Al?
Nope.
Yeah, this is the first time I heard about it. He shot into a PG&E vehicle, killing the passenger. Then he drove away to the Fresno police headquarters. He continued walking and opened fire at a local resident, missed. Shortly thereafter, he encountered another resident and shot and killed that person. He then continued to the area of a Catholic charity, where he shot and killed a person in the parking lot. You know, it comes on the tail of the nut from Cleveland. Supposedly killing 15 people, although they said they don't have proof that he's done that. He admitted to that and placed his killing on Facebook. I mean, what the...
Yeah.
People are just...
What's the lesson, Melody? Got to live in a place that has the right to carry concealed weapons. And more people need to probably think about it, because the ones that are licensed to do this are unlikely to be villains. But if they happen to be standing around when somebody opens fire, all right, maybe they can put them down. They can at least defend themselves, perhaps.
And instead of killing three, you
maybe
know, there might only be one.
Maybe so.
I also heard...
And it tells us something else. It tells us... I mean, that's just that... People would disagree. Some people would disagree with that opinion. But it's what's happening to some degree. Sometimes you're just dealing with lunatics. The guy in Cleveland, he may just be a lunatic. That's all. The guy out in California who's just shot three people was a Muslim. Another crazy in his own way. I don't know if the economy actually affects the way these people think or doesn't. Would they think differently if they had a Mercedes-Benz or they had some proud plan to get one? They thought they, I was going to get a couple more payments, I'll be able to get the Mercedes. I don't know.
Well, I don't think the economy I don't think the economy has anything to do with it. I just think it's the violence in our society and how open, I mean, these people who post things on, I mean, it's just bizarre. I mean, you know, you get these people involved in these, I mean, in particularly if you go into the dark web where you can view and follow anything you want that's just pure evil. Yeah, these people are not only crazy, but they're also evil. And it's just our society anymore. There's no, you know, it's...
Well, we put up
what
with,
we've seen
we
in
put
the
up
past.
With craziness, we put up with evil. And not just... Among Muslims or blacks or the poor or anybody else, we put up with it in Congress. We put up with it in the White House. We've had a president just in the last 8 years, and a lot of people aren't convinced he's even born in this country. Right? We have had, don't have a straight answer on what happened on 9/11. Don't have a straight answer on what happened in Oklahoma City. I don't know what the truth is down there, but no one is in Congress is looking for it. We have congressmen that allow strange things to happen in this country. For example, The Constitution says no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin, and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. That's what the Constitution says. We haven't had any gold or silver in circulation in this country since 1968 would have been the last time you might have been able to make that claim. That's 32, 42, almost 50 years we have been acting in violation of the Constitution with respect to our money. And yet, does anyone in Congress bother to mention this other than maybe Ron Paul, maybe Rand Paul? Who else is talking? Who's doing anything about this? Anyone? I don't care on one level what the money is. We can make the money. It could be corn cobs, right? If you want to have corn cobs for money, we can have corn cobs for money. But someone has to deal with it straight up, and we have to go to the Constitution and amend it and say no state shall make anything but corn cobs, a tender in payment of debts.
GMO.
Maybe we could use GMO or organic. I don't know. We could specify. You know, we could two of them. The GMO would be like silver. The organic would be like gold. All right, we'd have two kinds of corn cobs that we could use. But what's aggravating is that the system just goes ahead and ignores the Constitution. The governments, we don't have to obey the Constitution. We're the government. We can ignore that, and somehow that is supposed to inspire people's confidence, loyalty, allegiance. We have a government that ignores the Constitution. And not once, I would imagine that anybody listening to this program can think of other instances besides the one I'm talking about. It's been twisted, ignored, diminished. And they just say, oh, it's okay because we're the government. It's evidence that the government is operating not just unconstitutionally, but criminally.
Today
it's systemized. It's institutionalized. Yeah, we're the government. We can do whatever we want.
Today I saw a headline. It's like, why Trump believes he doesn't need, and I'm paraphrasing this, why Trump believes he doesn't need Congress to go to war. And then there was three pictures of Bush, Clinton, Obama.
Yeah.
And it's true. You know, how many wars did, you know,
exactly.
They bomb that, you know, they were supposed to go to Congress, and they didn't.
Yep.
And so, you know, they set the precedence, and, you know, there it is. Now everybody thinks you can do it. And if, you know, just like Rand Paul came out and says, no, I mean, even the bombing in Syria should have been approved by Congress.
Yep.
And you can read different areas where it says if the president believes that this country is in a threat, but there was no threat to the United States.
No.
There was no threat to the United States. They didn't threaten. That gas wasn't used here in the United States. We do have troops in Syria, but I don't think they were actually at that point a threat. You know, they were threatened by the gas if it was a real attack by Syria. You know, there's still a lot of reports and people believe that was a false flag. I'm one of those. But so it's, you know, it's and that's why there isn't anything that's going to get fixed until it is forced to be fixed by some.
How are you going to force
it? Coming our way. Hopefully in the rubble there'll be someone that can. They'll be forced to address the situation. It's just a matter of what the people. And you have to put blame on the people, Al. You can blame Congress all you want, but I blame the people just as much.
I don't
just
blame them as much.
Much,
but I blame them. I mean, people in Congress, the people don't know what's going on. There is a level of ignorance in this country that people perhaps never be overcome. But the congressmen should know what they're doing. And even if they don't know right away, we've had a problem where we've been acting in violation of Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1. Nothing but gold or silver coin is a tender in payment of debts. We've been acting in violation of that for 50 years. We haven't had one president in 50 years. We haven't had one congressman. Maybe we've had a couple of congressmen, all right, who've said, you know, this is contrary to the Constitution. Ron Paul would be one. Other than that, nobody picks up on this. They should know this. This is like hiring a doctor. And he comes in, well, I don't know nothing about doing brain surgery, Ms. Scarlett. That is not the doctor we want. We can't sit back and say, well, listen, we're going to let this guy operate on your skull because he needs the experience, you know. No, we got to have people that are actually, they should be qualified. This is something they should know about. And I can't imagine they don't know about it. They just don't want to talk about it. They're just going to keep on sliding along, and because it's not easy to talk about. And the implications of talking about it are enormous. If we ever get back where somebody stands up and says, we have to go back to gold and silver coin, that's what's in the Constitution, or we have to amend the Constitution. You want to amend the Constitution? Let's amend the Constitution. But you can't keep breaking the law. This is like driving down the street in a school zone. They've got scores of school zone signs, and you can only drive 15 miles an hour, and somebody's driving 50 miles an hour. He's ignoring the speed limit in the school zone. There's plenty of signs. We know this is wrong, and yet it's being done anyway. This is evidence of some kind of criminal conspiracy. This is not evidence of government enforcing the law. And that, to me, is disturbing. Government has become a lawbreaker. And maybe it always was. That might be true for every government, all right? But some governments, if they're going to break the law, they at least try to do it in secret, where they don't just rub it in your face and laugh at you and say, yeah, we can bust the law. We're the government, baby. I'd like to see a change.
Well, of course. So as many would.
Yeah, I understand.
Today, President Trump, he hopes to revive the economic populism that helped drive his election campaign on. And today, he's in Wisconsin, and he's signing an order aimed at curbing what his administration says are abuses in a visa program used by the U.S. technology companies that harm American workers. And it's dubbed Buy American, Hire American. Kind of makes you all warm and fuzzy inside, doesn't it?
I want to be warm. Warm is okay. Fuzzy, I don't think I want to be fuzzy inside.
That's just the math.
It sounds like fuzzy a problem. Math. You're going to need a doctor pretty quick if you get fuzzy.
He is targeting the H-1B visa program, which the White House says undercuts American workers by bringing in a large number of cheaper foreign workers, driving down wages. Now, the new order would direct U.S. agencies to propose rules to prevent immigration fraud and abuse in the program. They would also be asked to offer changes so that the H-1B visas are awarded to the most skilled or highest paid applicants. And the officials said the order also seeks to strengthen requirements that American-made products be used in certain federal construction projects. The order specifically asked the Secretary of Commerce to review waivers of these rules and free trade agreements. These waivers could be renegotiated or revoked if they're not benefiting the United States. So he's signing this. Really doesn't mean anything until these programs are actually proposed, changed, reviewed, and, you know, there's no time limit, you know, as far as I was able to understand as to when all this would be done. And so I just, you know, hopefully, because yeah, I believe that that area is abused, that the H-1B visas, it is abused. I agree. And how about just stopping it? How about instead of, I think, what, the 250,000 that come in, how about eliminating it to 50,000 or 20,000? Why do you have to have such a large number?
I have no idea. It's all politics, I guess. And I mean, even what Trump is doing, is he doing something now or is he just posturing?
I think he's posturing. Don't know, but
got an article here from Business Insider, and it says one poll shows Trump's stunning impact on the way Republicans feel about the U.S. economy. Now, Republicans have become much more confident in the U.S. economy since the election of Donald Trump. This is a new poll, shows Trump's win may even have changed the way they see the past. Now, that is so bizarre. All right? Prior to Trump's election, we saw the past one way. Since his election, we view the past a different way. I mean, that's just... It gives me chills. It makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. People can rewrite history in their own minds, and I don't know. The poll from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel showed that by 54%, GOP voters in Wisconsin believed the economy had gotten better over the last 12 months. When asked in October, GOP voters were 28 points more likely to believe that it had gotten worse in the last 12 months. Trump has moved us from, well, we're up 54%, at least among Republicans. The findings aligned with a recent Pew Research Center poll that showed the percentage of Republicans that viewed the economy as in good standing jumped from 31% in early 2016 to 61% in March. Doubled, all right, from early 2016 to 61% in March. Nothing material. Now, here's the point, though. Nothing materially has changed in the U.S. economy since October. Job gains are still solid, but not spectacular. Wage growth has remained subdued. Industrial production has improved, but not by a large margin. In fact, by most measures, there has been a bit of a lull in economic activity. Core consumer price inflation showed its first decline since 2010. Retail sales have slipped the past 2 months. A variety of hard data points have slumped. The consensus for the first quarter GDP is below 1%. Annualized, and the Atlanta Fed GDP now tracker has it pegged at just 0.5%, the lowest in nearly 2 years. Now, what are these people? This isn't news exactly. We know that there has been a Trump effect. He has inspired confidence. He's inspired optimism, and the rest of that. I'm going to make America great again. But here we are. You know, several months into the Trump campaign, I don't know, 70, 80 days, if I understand correct, the end of Trump's presidency, and nothing materially has changed except public sentiment. And I have to wonder. I don't doubt that public sentiment and improvement in public sentiment is good for the economy. It may be necessary to get the economy running, but is it sufficient to get the economy running? Doesn't there have to be some sort of reality to back this up, to get the economy strengthened and really functioning in a positive way? Or can it just be we'll all sit around and think positive thoughts and all of a sudden everything will work out fine? I don't doubt we need the positive thinking. I don't doubt we need the confidence and the optimism. But just the same, we also need some reality. There's got to be more jobs. There's got to be more income. There's got to be more sales. There's got to be more something besides just optimism and wishful thinking. And the danger in all of this is if the country begins to see that nothing materially has changed, what's going to happen to the positive goodwill we've had in our economy so far? We'll take a break, a couple commercials, be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. Won't you lay it on the line?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just wanted to mention, we were talking during the break, that Ivanka Trump was awarded a trademark approval in China. And then a few hours later, she dines with the Chinese president at Mar-a-Lago that evening.
Merely a coincidence, I'm sure, Mel.
Oh, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. A lot of her trademarks were filed after the election. But again, you know, she has, you know, she makes jewelry, bags, spa services. You know, she does a lot. And she has three new trademarks. And you have to get approval from the Chinese government for those trademarks. It's not, you know, some little separate thing like it's done in the United States, I believe. So, I mean, you do have to get government approval, Chinese government approval.
Yep.
And so, you know, it just seems like as much hope as so many people had, it just feels like it's...
I agree.
Just a different
face. Just another, it's, you know, it's like being elected sheriff in Alabama. There was a time when you ran into, I'd become a sheriff in Alabama, and to throw out the previously corrupt sheriff. And once you got in, once you got elected, then you were as corrupt as the previous guy. He grabbed all the money he could. The next election, the next guy comes in and says, you are the one who's really corrupt. Got to throw him out, and I will be the honest guy again. It was just a perpetual string of crooks. I'm not arguing that that's the case today, but this was true, allegedly true, 50 years ago, thereabouts. And it may be still. I'm not saying it's not true today. I'm just saying, you know, what I heard was that this is that. You get one crook after another. When was the last time we had a president you didn't think was a crook?
We just got a different carnival barker. That's all.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yep.
Same carnival.
Just a different barker.
Different carnival barker. Yeah, exactly.
So, again, that just kind of, you know, just, I don't know, it was just very disappointing.
I talked earlier on the program about two different news reports. One says there is an American Navy armada going to Korea, and the Russian and Chinese spy ships are trailing this alleged armada. And another one says, no, they're down in Sumatra, which makes me wonder, who are the Russians and the Chinese tailing, and is there even an armada out there, or this whole thing just some sort of, are we living in some sort of an illusion? The whole thing is just, you know, baling wire and models and one thing another, not much of the, I don't know what's happening. It's bizarre. But here's another one, a little bit along those lines, something from CNBC. And it says, gold is closing in on an ominous level. That's the headline. Gold's rally doesn't mean investors should count on more gains. That's according to Oppenheimer technician Ari Wald, who sees a limit on gold's run in the charts. Wald isn't bearish on gold, but he does see more attractive opportunities in stocks. According to Wald, there has been resistance at $1,350 for the price of gold, dating to 2012. The $1,350 level has often been cited as a key psychological point for gold, and the metal surpassed briefly last summer before falling back down. That's really limited gold over the last few years, Wald said Monday on CNBC's Power Lunch. I'm not too sure if gold can push beyond that level just yet. Now, when he says he's not too sure, he concedes that it might. He doesn't think it's going to happen just yet, but he knows it's going to happen. We're going to get past that 1350 level. And the headline says, gold is closing in on an ominous level. What's ominous about that? What's ominous about 1350? I think it's interesting. It's interesting. But here's the next one from Barron's. And it says, gold, next stop, 1360. than $10,000. Okay? The renewed strength in gold, which has rallied roughly 14% since its December lows, has emboldened the bulls. Gold has also received a boost from the Trump administration's military strike on Syria and mounting tensions with North Korea. One of the prominent bulls is Eric Egon von Greyerz from Matterhorn Asset Management, who explains why he is bullish on the precious metals. War or no war, gold and silver have finished the correction down since the 2011 peak and are now on their way to new highs well above the previous peaks. Gold should attain $10,000 and silver $500 at least in today's prices. But since hyperinflation is very likely, the actual price could be multiples of those levels. Shorter term, gold, the metal seems to be in a hurry, and gold should reach $1,360 relatively quickly. I have stressed many times that gold and silver should not be seen as investments, but as the most important wealth preservation asset anyone can ever hold. I don't entirely agree with that. I think given that gold prices have been suppressed for 15, 20 years, I can see this, I look at it, not only as wealth preservation, and I agree that's true, I do see it as an investment, because sooner or later, the market manipulation has to end, in my opinion, and when it does, gold is going to jump. And when it does, you're going to capture, in my opinion, some significant profits. And I don't mean 10, 15, 20%. You could get into several.
Gold is really a wealth preservation asset.
Well, I know it's a fundamental. I agree that. But I also see, because it's been suppressed, I see it as an investment.
Yeah, but investments, usually your returns are on a shorter time frame to classify it as an investment. I mean, I'm not saying it's not, but it truly is. And I think that's the big, when people think of investments, that's how they get conned into going into paper, because they see the shorter, they think they're buying gold, but they're not. And then when they see it as an investment, they think the returns, it should return something within a year or two, and it doesn't. But if it's explained and taught that gold truly is a wealth preservation asset, your true wealth comes from gold, is when it does rise, you'll be the only one holding gold. You'll be the only one to go out and buy that property for pennies on the dollar. Everybody else will have totally lost any assets that they've had, and they won't have any ability to buy anything. So you'll be able to come in and scoop all this stuff up, all these investments, and that's where the real wealth comes in, because gold has preserved your purchasing power when everyone else has lost. And the bonus, the gravy, is the increase in price. That's just a given. That's just a given. And I agree with him. It really is a wealth preservation asset. You can throw it in as an investment.
I would agree principally, yes, but in an environment where the price has been suppressed for many years, to me, that's going to stop, and when it does, it's going to jump dramatically. It's not just going to preserve your wealth. In my opinion, it will increase your wealth.
And that's the gravy.
Yeah.
So
whatever. But what interested me about the two stories is here we have we have CNBC saying, oh my gosh, it's gold is closing in on the ominous level of $1,350, and they say there's a psychological barrier there. And the next one from Barron's says the next stop, $1,360, then $10,000. Now, you know, is the glass half empty or half full? But both agree that this level of 1,350 to 1,360, this is a significant level of resistance at this time. And the implication is, will that level, will gold get up close to it and then bounce off of it and go back down? Or is gold going to plunge through the 1,360 level? Or today, tomorrow, a year from now? When do we go through the 1,360? And if we do, is there any further significant resistance? Or is the Barron's headline irrational, saying, then 10,000? Nothing stops it. Once we break through that 1,360, what's going to stop the increase in the price of gold?
I think the first resistant level we have to get through is 1,300. That's the first one. When it reached 1,350 a year ago, that was when it was the Brexit. That's when it went up over $100, and it turned around in within days of that announcement. So, yeah, I think 1360. You know what, Al? Something needs to push it through. I mean, we all know where gold is going and silver. We all know where it's headed. We just don't know what's going to push it and what's going to make it go from 1360. I'll tell you what, if it goes from 1360 to $10,000, that's the next level. There will be war. There will be a nuclear blast somewhere. Could even be here in the States. You will have a collapse of the world currencies. You will have nuclear war everywhere. I mean, things will be...
You can't have a dollar where the price of gold is $10,000. Dollar's got to die.
You will be out of place. It just won't be the dollar, Al. It just won't be the dollar that makes it go to $10,000.
I understand.
You're
going to
have all these other... You're going to have all these other... situations happening all at the same time. You
will
have world
chaos. I'm not arguing that we're going to 10,000 after it's the next stop. That's Barron's talking, not me.
You will have world chaos.
But the important point is, do you agree that 1350, 1360 is a critical resistance level? And do you think we're going to break it anytime soon?
I think 1300 is when we have to break that first. And then we just have to wait and see what it's going to do. You know, people don't understand the amount of power that these people have. I mean, my gosh, you have all these Goldman Sachs people. We know Trump wants a lower dollar. We know Goldman Sachs just took off their recommendations going long on the dollar against the euro and a few other currencies. So, I mean, they're shorting the they're shorting the dollar now. So, yeah, I do expect to see the dollar go down, and that will push gold up. But can anybody give it a time frame? No, that's it. We don't know the time frame.
I don't think we can. I agree that we can't point to the time frame with any accuracy. But do you think it's possible within the next several weeks, that within the next 30 days, that we go through 1350? Is that possible? Is it
likely? I think it's very possible.
Or is it going to happen next year, whatever?
With the strength that we've been seeing from the first of the year, it's very possible we could see 1350 in the next month.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think it's possible. We are going to watch and see what happens. If anything happens additionally in Syria, or if the conflict with North Korea turns hot... Right now it's a war of words and the rest of that sort of thing, a bunch of saber rattling, but nobody's done anything exactly. If something really does break loose in either of those two places, or if there is a third geopolitical crisis, something else, not Syria, not North Korea, something else that currently is perhaps off our radar, something else breaks loose. I think and this is consistent with what you were talking about, we're going to need one more push to break through that 1350, 1360 level. But once we do, if we do get through that, if it is a psychological level, and I think that's all it is, there's no fundamental reason for it. Once we break through that psychological level, then I think everybody who is a gold bull is going to say, yippee, and the price of gold is going to rise. It will begin to rise much more rapidly. So we'll watch and we'll see. But we may get an answer on this within the next 30 days. Maybe sooner
than that. I want it to close above 1300. When it closes above 1300, then yes, we will see 1350 and 1360. And we'll just have to see what's pushing it there. But if anything gets, I mean, we're at a point if anything gets a little out of control, I think right now there's a sense of control, you know. There's a sense of, you know, everyone's anxious, but yet, you know, if that changes, you know, yeah, then you're going to see. And I think once it gets above the 1350 and we're approaching 1400, then I think you're going to have people running to gold. I think this is when you'll see more money come into gold. They won't be going into bonds anymore. They'll be going into gold for their safety. They'll find gold as their safe haven. So it is a transition, you know, from, you know, where this money comes in. And you have to remember, too, and I tell folks all the time, it used to be the only place you could get gold was physical gold. And if you wanted to speculate, you had mining shares. Then they created the ETFs. Look how many billions of dollars are in those ETFs. That money, even half of it, used to be in shares and the physical. So they were able to water down the actual pricing of of gold. I mean, this is one way they've been able to manipulate the price of gold. And that's why your shares, you know, sometimes you can't figure out what's going on and, you know, they should be going up and they're not. Same way with gold. It's been watered down. All that money used to come into those two markets and it's not anymore. And eventually, when people realize they really want the physical, you'll still see money come into the physical and even the shares. But this is why we've had, I believe we've always had a struggle getting the liftoff that I think we should have received in previous times. You know, look at the ETFs where they were building, but yet gold was kind of not doing much. The $20 gold piece is not doing much. And I think that's why the money's going in there instead of the physical.
They have created an alternate artificial gold,
yes,
essentially.
Absolutely.
And people have bought it rather than buying the physical.
Absolutely.
But the strong probability is those purchases will lead to significant regret before this is all over.
Absolutely.
People are going to sit back and say, I wish I really had
more of this. And these markets are little. It doesn't, you know, we don't need to have 100% of the investment population come into the physical market. I mean, we need 5% or 6%.
I understand. I mean, we'll have to wait to see if we get that 5 or 6% tomorrow when Melody and I will return on Financial Survival. And I hope you'll tune in then. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.